You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Volition Rx, a multinational epigenetics company, revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. Volition Rx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batts for Ukraine Crisis with Judy Dempsey, the editor of Strategic Europe, asking the question of her colleagues and other voices throughout the world. This question, is Russia's war in Ukraine dividing the world? We're not looking about dividing Europe. That's all very parochial considering the size of the planet. And I begin with the director of Carnegie in India, Rudra Chaudhuri, who regards this as a genuine challenge because India abstained in the condemnation of Russia in the UN vote. At the same time, India is tangled up with Russian partnership because of its weapon systems, these many decades since the Cold War, and India has another challenge, which is China. So at that point, Judy, I stopped taking notes and thought, I couldn't figure this out. What do we learn from your colleague about India's observation of the Ukraine war?
India's foreign policy position has always been very interesting. India does as much as possible to sit on the fence rather than take sides. They don't want to burn boats, and their relations with the United States have improved, but they have to look the other way too, as you mentioned, the arms imports from Russia. And then we have the problem with its neighbors, particularly China. And so India is in this position, whether they think right or wrong, or whether it's morally defensible or not, they are looking after their interests first, not the idea of Ukrainian sovereignty or values. This country is in this, the geographical situation of this country is so important. Just one thing to remember, while India did abstain at the UN Security Council vote on Russia's second invasion of Ukraine, France was pretty disappointed with India. France and India have a very deep strategic military relationship. And France and India are developing cooperation in this part of the Indian Ocean. So India has run the wrath of France for the moment, and we'll see how relations are going to be repaired there. But this is classic India refusing to take a stance, even though they may be under pressure from both sides to take a stance.
Your colleague Amir Hamzawi, director of Carnegie Middle East Program, fascinating viewpoint to me because he sees China as leading what we can call an up-to-date, non-aligned group of nations who are neither this nor that, observing the conflict in Ukraine. I also sense in this in his analysis that he's most worried about something that is always in the headlines but isn't easily identified. It's food security, Judy. We know that right now the inflation translates into not having enough to eat. There are articles everywhere about how to substitute things that are cheaper. That's for the well-to-do North Temperate Zone. But in Lima, Peru, I learned last week, they've raised the price of a soup kitchen 50% just to keep the poor people of Lima fed. So I'm glad that Amir is thinking about food security. But from the point of view of the Middle East, this is a struggle that doesn't apparently touch them. And he's looking at China as a leader.
He's looking at China as a leader. And it's very interesting that China really isn't leading when it comes to food security. And we're in the middle of Ramadan and there isn't enough flour. Talking about the northern prosperous Western Hemisphere, I was in two supermarkets today, three just to do some reporting. There's no flour. One supermarket hasn't got flour for 2 weeks. Why? Because Ukraine is the breadbasket of the world in some ways. And Egypt depends so much on wheat imports from Ukraine. And by the way, Russia is very important for exports. But under Putin over the last 2 years, wheat exports have been stopped because Putin is now going for food security. He's desperately worried about this. And one little footnote on this, which Amir didn't bring up, in the Southern Caucasus, there's a huge, another breadbasket there, but there's an enormous problem because of climate change, growth of insects, damaging the crops and so on, and there's a fall of yields in production. This is a huge problem, and this war is highlighting the vulnerability of Middle East countries and other countries, whether it's Latin America, whether it's Africa. Don't even talk about Africa, the problems are going to go through. But the spin-off effects on migration, on refugees, on conflict are going to be enormous.
Yes, let's go to Africa, because you also have a response from Chipo Dendere. I hope I say his name correctly, assistant professor of Africana Studies, Wellesley College. He identifies the global south as at crisis right now. The refugees that risk the Mediterranean or risk the North Sea or travel across barriers that are raised between Greece and Turkey are also fleeing from food security and war. And to say there's a double standard is trite compared to the scale of what he's referring to. We know that millions are on the move. So it's good of him to remind us that the war in Ukraine is a tragedy along with other tragedies at the same time.
That's right. And Chipo comes from Zimbabwe, and he's in the United States at the moment, and he's got this very special view. And the extraordinary thing about this crisis is that the Europeans have this, have to be very careful. Oh, we've opened up our doors to all the refugees in Ukraine. But my heavens, did they have double standards, if double standards at all, when it came to the refugees from Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan. Don't forget the Afghan refugees. They're on the move. Who's going to let them in, for heaven's sake? And the war in Yemen continues. And heavens above, what's happening in Eritrea and Ethiopia. There's wars, there's conflicts. And somehow the refugee issue has a certain hierarchy, class value, racist value, color value, background value, religious value. And so Europe has adopted the Ukrainian refugees, rightly so, they are neighbors. But we have distinguished between them. And I think this is the very interesting answers coming from the people I asked over the in this latest Judy Asks format. They realize, I mean, Europe, be consistent with your values. Don't be selective and don't be hypocritical. But that's the view coming from outside Europe, that Europe is applying double standards.
Let's go to Madrid. Gabriela Masonis Rojo, editor of Caracas Chronicles, identifies one group of refugees who need asylum and are not receiving it, which is the people from her native Venezuela, abused badly in Central America. I know this, and their numbers are climbing right now. Well, I understand Ukrainians are in tragedy, but so are the Venezuelans. Many years, there's no food security. There's no medical security. I think Gabriela makes an excellent point. What about us?
She's right. I must say I learned so much from Gabriela, because I had assumed that given Spain's relationship with Latin America, that they would be much more open towards the Venezuelans and Latin Americans fleeing food security and authoritarianism. But the fact that there's a hierarchy, a double standards, who gets first, who gets the integration, who gets the kind of asylum status, it's actually very sad, because at the end of the day, these are individuals fleeing war, seeking a better life. And aren't we all equal in that? Those that want to live a better life and seek a better life. But that's not the way the various continents and various countries treat people who are fleeing.
The comment by Maha Yahya, director of Malcolm H. Kerr Carnegie Middle East Center, again points to food security as really the damage caused by the war. But also there were questions about food security before, because I remember, Judy, when we talked about the pandemic. Remember those days? I think it was just a couple of weeks ago. So we're already talking about parts of the earth that don't have control of their own food chain. And they're doubly damaged by, we see the fighting every day on the front pages of the newspaper. We don't see the famine that's sweeping in the Sahel.
Isn't it shocking, the deprivation? We sit in our kind of comfort zones that we know we can have access to most things that we really want. But that's a tiny speck of the world. And it's very depressing when you think of all the deprivations that so many people are experiencing every single day. There are 100,000 people trapped in cellars at the western part of Europe called Ukraine, Mariupol, a very old port. They are trapped there. They are being forced into starvation by the Russians. In Yemen, because of the Houthis won't release the port, allow imports in one of the major ports in Yemen, people are being starved into submission, right, or death. Right. Starvation is being used as a weapon. And this is a true tragedy. And it highlights the weakness, and it highlights in some ways the inability of the multilateral order to actually deal with these crises and conflicts.
Judy Dempsey of Carnegie in Berlin. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.